I've been planning this sermon series for quite a long time. The series is entitled Wisdom versus Wisdom. How do I stop making stupid decisions? Now raise your hand if this is practical.
Yeah,
it's very practical. Anyone ever made a stupid choice?
Yeah.
Anyone thought anything stupid?
Yeah.
Well, you know, last week, someone just raised both hands and both feet. I'm glad they're sitting down. If not, they would have been. There's so much reality as we gather, and a lot of times you're not allowed to be yourself on church day. You just got to put on this facade like everything's great. I'm all together. Well, I tell you what, I am the one that's put together with duct tape. How about you? And a lot of times these consequences that I have in my life, these prayer requests that I always have, is because I've made my own stupid choices. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me, to put all the pieces back together. I've also learned that in the Word of God, there's a lot of wisdom. And so I fight all the time between my wisdom, which is really stupid. The Bible says the foolish is the man in his own thoughts and ways, versus God's wisdom. And I've proven over and over that my wisdom doesn't cut it. God's wisdom, however, does. You might have been with us last week when we had dumb thoughts. And that's where it all begins, right? We talked about dumb thoughts, and the very, very important verse was out of 2 Corinthians, where we need to take captive every thought and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could boil down that sermon into three words, this is what the main sermon was. We need to learn how to captivate thoughts. Filter them out against God's word to see if they're good or not. Then we talked about translate. Captivate and translate. How does that thought compare to God? And how does the Holy Spirit want to take those raw thoughts and make them something into God thoughts? And so if I could change the way I process or translate my thoughts, maybe I won't make as many dumb choices in my life. Amen? And then the final word was cultivate. Translate, cultivate. We're supposed to cultivate good, godly thoughts, positive thoughts. When you cultivate something, it's like you're preparing it for an end result. You cultivate the ground because you're going to plant your garden. And so you just don't throw seed on top of soil, do you? What you have to do, you have to cultivate the ground and turn it up, and then you plant the seed. And there's a natural byproduct. Whatever you plant, guess what? It's going to grow and you're going to reap. And so when you got good, healthy, godly thoughts, what are the natural consequences? Good, healthy actions, or in my case, reactions. Amen. So that was last week. But this week, we're going to talk about something a little bit different. It's after the thoughts, because when you talk about thoughts, the very first byproduct of your thought is usually a word. Now, the Bible, I don't know if you realize this, the Bible says a lot about words, a tremendous amount about words. Raise your hand. You know, this is very interactive because I don't want to be the only guilty one here. How many have ever said something you wish you'd never said?
Yep.
How many of you ever didn't say something that you wish you would have said? You know, it's like when I met that gal who came to church that morning, remember, and I asked her how far along she was, and she wasn't pregnant. It wasn't that my assessment of the situation, I mean, there was a basketball right here. It wasn't that my assessment got me in trouble, it's all the backtracking of words that got me into trouble. And you know, you can say a lot to get yourself in trouble. Amen. And so we're going to talk about this words, but I want you to listen and pay attention to this video. Actually, Pastor Ruth on Tuesday shared it with me. It's a great video. This is by Hawk Nelson.
They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. Made me feel like a king.
Words are powerful. Would you agree? In fact, the main idea this morning that we're going to focus on is that power of the words. And we're going to talk about dumb words. Can you see those words on that mirror right now? Those are pretty negative, aren't they? Do you have any other words that you think we could put on there, that words that are hurtful, words that maybe you have said or you've heard other people say? Any other words that you would add? Okay. Hate. Anyone else? How these words make you feel? Unwanted, yeah. These are hard words. In fact, I imagine if you're like me, you've probably been the recipient of some of these words. And, you know, sometimes if you hear something long enough, you begin to think it's true. Or how about this? You know, these words, they ring in our hearts and they ring in our minds over and over. Words are powerful. And I've been guilty, and I'm sure you've been guilty, of dumb words. Often in every sermon, you have a main thought. Words have the power to give or take life from others. I think I agree with that, but it's been a hard time to practice that. Have I said things that I've never should have said? Absolutely, I should have. Have I hurt people because of my words? I have. Have I carelessly thrown out a word to someone because of sinful motive? So, words have the power to give or take life from others. But I've learned that sticks and stones may break my bones and words will never hurt me. I think that's a dumb statement. And I do believe that a lot of people have said words that have been more damaging, more hurtful than any stick and stone they could ever throw. I counsel people all the time that have had all these words in their lives sown like seeds, and they have been birthing fruit year after year. They start to believe what someone said about them, and it could be the farthest thing from the truth. There's one passage that we're going to camp on this morning. Of course, there are plenty of scriptures in the Old and the New Testament you could look up about the power of words to give or to take life. But the passage that I want us to focus on this morning is in Proverbs 18:21. Tremendous verse. It's an easy verse to memorize. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I'm a firm believer that a lot of what I say and what I do is open record to the Lord. It's for public record for the Lord to search my words and my thoughts. When you take this is out of the New Living Translation, you compare it to some other translations or paraphrases of the Bible, it sort of puts a little more flesh to the understanding of what God was trying to tell us. In the Contemporary English Version, this same verse says, words can bring death or life, exclamation mark. Talk too much and you're going to eat everything you say. Things that you didn't really want to say, but you said it out of anger, jealousy, fits of rage. You'll end up eating those words. You said something really nice and positive. Instead of cursing someone, you bless someone. And hopefully the Lord was paying attention. Guess what? He pays attention to all your words. Or the same verse in the Good News Translation. You tell me if this is going to be good news or not. What you say can preserve your life or destroy your life. So you must accept the consequence of your words. I've proven this time and time again. My words can affect my attitudes and actions. Your words can affect your attitudes and actions. If you wake up in the morning, you say, this is going to be a miserable, no good for nothing day. Guess what it's going to end up being? A miserable, no good for nothing day. There is a power in the words that you speak, because what you say is a fruit of what you think, what you've been camping on, and now you're giving validity or feet to those thoughts. And if, man, this, oh, I've dreaded this day. I hope, oh, I didn't want this day to ever come. Oh, gosh, I wish this day never happened. You're going to start living in the consequences, and someone's going to walk up to you, the very person you see, even after a pot of coffee. Are you in a bad mood this morning? Why? Because your thoughts and your words have predicted or framed what your day's going to be like. Now, that's the negative side, and of course we tend to be a little, we lean towards the negative, but if you wake up saying, you know what, this day is going to have some value. You know, I got a lot of stuff, and you got stuff in your life, and you can focus on all the negativity, which it's there, it's reality, but you know what? I know God said he'll never let anything come across my path that I can't handle. Greater is he that lives in me than he who lives in the world. Another check mark. Are you still the God of Romans 8:28? God can cause good to come out of any circumstance, any situation for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, it's that positivity versus the negativity. It's strong. If you want to change your day, change your words. You want to change that relationship? Start changing your words. And I'm going to really go out on the edge. If you want to change your life, begin by changing your words. Some people have been raised where you're no good, you're worthless, you're in an accident, I never wanted you in the first place. You're just nothing but a screw up. Are you ever going to make a good choice? You're never going to mount up to anything whatsoever. I wish I never had you. You begin to think like that, and that becomes your identity, or you can say, no, I reject that. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And God didn't matter. He had already planned out the days of your life. It doesn't matter about your biological mother, biological father. You were made in the image of God. Whether it was according to the biblical pattern or not the biblical pattern, God never wastes a human life. He sent his son Jesus for you. Are you going to allow Christ to come into your life and say, you know what? Yep, this is not how I would have planned it either, but these are the cards you're dealt with. But listen, I hold the final cards. I love you. I care for you. See, words that I choose to say can make or break my day. Can my word destroy a relationship? I could say something to my wife to crush her spirit. Or can words make a relationship? Yeah, I could tell her how beautiful she is and how much I love her. It's not the, you know, I told you I loved you once, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But it's that constant affirmation of words. I love you. This is why I love you. Those words, they can change a relationship, and your words can change your life. You know, there are some words that you can say right now that will change eternity for you. Jesus, I surrender to you. If you make those words come out of your mouth as a decision in your heart, it will change the trajectory of your eternal life. Agree or disagree? But if you say, Jesus, I reject you. I don't want anything to do with you. You're just a made-up religious figure. Actually, you know what? If you were really who you are, my life wouldn't be so screwed up. I reject you. Those words will have an everlasting impact on your life. Do you know the words you say cause other people to use words too? Mm-hmm. If someone says something positive to you, a compliment, what do you like to give in return? Without lying. All right? A compliment. Or if someone says something negative to you, they stab you in the back, they just said something bad, they're getting in your face, what do you naturally want to do? But even worse, right? Your words have the ability to set you free or to keep you prisoner. And when you say certain words, not only does it affect your destiny, it can affect what God says to you. For example, if I say the words, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I believe in you. Come into my life. I'm sorry for all those things that I've done. God's words to me, when I finally die and I go to his presence, he's going to say certain words to me. Welcome home, good and faithful. Or the words that you don't want to hear, depart from me. I don't know you. So the Bible says a lot about words. Let's just talk about a few of the scripture passages because it helps define the power of these words because they have the power to give life or to take life. James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Let's go ahead. I want a little cooperation. Let's look up chapter 3 in the book of James, and I'd like someone to go and read first 3 through 5. Who's got 3 through 5? Stand up and read the word of God.
We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches.
It's that little thing that can change any relationship, any situation. What you say, it's like the rudder of a big ship. Your tongue gives life and brings death into a relationship. See, these words identify our thoughts, what's in our heart, and those words can make or break you. Let's turn to another scripture. Someone turn to, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 18, and then another person go to chapter 15, verse 4. So who can go to chapter 12, verse 18, and stand and read that for me? So your tongue is compared to a sword. But the word of God is crystal clear. Your tongue, the words that you say are like a sword. And by the way, is the word, is it right? All right. Now we got another one. Let's go to, that didn't really turn out very good, did it? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4.
A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit.
I used to think that sarcasm of put-downs was one of my spiritual gifts. I tell you what, I'd get a little bit angst with someone. You know what angst means? All right. And I just get frustrated with someone, and naturally, I'd be sarcastic to them. I learned how to do that in elementary school. You know the playground, right? You've been on the playground. Do they still have playgrounds today? You know, I remember playing kickball. I remember I didn't have my height when I was in fourth and fifth grade. It seems like all the other guys grew their height before I did. And so since I was a little bit shorter, guess what they did? They picked on me. And I learned that I can't physically do anything about it. And I realized sarcasm, it's like you can, a little bit of a jab, but you don't know if they're really joking or not. Then I learned what sarcasm, if it doesn't do what you wanted to do, you can put down. I was going to list a whole bunch of your mama jokes, but I decided not to in case my mom showed up this morning. So put downs and sarcasm are not spiritual gifts. They're not abilities. They're actually a sign of weakness. You know, or to put to today, someone says something on their phone and, you know, a lot of people text sarcasm, but you have no idea that it's sarcasm when you receive that text, unless they put this little parenthesis phrase, what's JK stand for?
Just kidding.
Just kidding. You know, all of us have allowed dumb words to define us, to crush us. But you know what? Positive words can build you up. Can you think of someone in your life, maybe growing up, maybe today, that it seems like every time you were around this person, you just felt better by being around them? And she would always use my name or someone else's name. She would always say something positive about what I did that day. Billy, you only got in trouble 3 times today. Or, it was great. Now, we all have those people, right? I had a pastor. Every time I saw this pastor, it looked like all he wanted to do is just blow positivity into my life. And just like, Billy, I just want you to know how much God loves you. And this pastor was always encouraging me, lifting me up. Even though he knew I was messing up and doing things, he always found something positive. Now, most of you rose your hand. You have someone in your life that was like that. You need to keep those people in your life. I wonder if someone thought about you as that kind of person in their life. Now, on the other side, have you ever had someone in your life that drained life out of you because of what they said? I tend to replay what they say more often than what Ms. Strohmeyer said about me. We're going to take a personal word audit. we're going to look into the books. We're going to take an examination of the words that you've used. Now, would it be great if last Sunday I gave everybody a secret microphone and I recorded all your words and we played them back this morning? Now, some of you are saying, I wasn't here last Sunday. Praise the Lord for that. Now, if you were to hear all my words, maybe the ones that were spoken and unspoken, do you think there'd be some things I wouldn't want you to hear? Yeah, and vice versa. So let's just take a word audit and let's examine our words. It's going to be real simple. There's only going to be two questions, and we're going to put it on a scale of 1 to 10. So the first question we're going to ask ourselves is, how do you generally speak to others? 1 through 10. Now, you're going to circle 1 if your thought is this: I am just full of life-depleting, negative, critical words. Or it could be a 10. Let's see where that goes. Yeah, you're an overachiever. All right. 10 means I'm full of life-giving positive words. I'm a lot like Ms. Strohmeyer. I just want to lift up people. So on that scale, I want you to put where you are. I would put myself, look, it's not working. I'd put myself right around a 6 or a 7. That means I'm a little more positive. I think I like to, people, I'm positive. Where would you put yourself? How do you generally speak to yourself? You know, there are more words I speak to me than I speak to you. Now, you may not physically use your mouth to say it, but your words are in your head. So you would say, number one, you would say, I'm never going to get that job. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to be Mr. Right. I'm never, 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 ever, never, never, whatever. You're your worst enemy. In fact, you don't need negative people in your life because you've not left any room for them. Or a 10. I'm confident, positive about myself. God, he really took extra time with me. God, wow. Now, that's more of a egotistical issue. But you see, you know what? I've come a long ways. I'm not that person I used to be. There must be a God after all, because he took that mess that I made and made something beautiful. So where would you put yourself on a scale of 1 through 10? How you generally speak about yourself? I just tend to be a little more critical about myself, because you know why? I believe the lies the father of all lies tells me, and I shouldn't. I've counseled a lot of married couples. You need to understand how these people influence your life and how you influence their life as well. How did you do on the assessment? There's probably room for improvement. But perhaps maybe you're an alien from some planet and that you've just landed here, and this morning you found yourself at C4 Church, an explosive place to be. That's not our new motto. Only in the month of July it's our motto. You know, it's like, what do you mean, words, communication? Well, let's look at this. Words 101, words for dummies. I could write this book. I've boiled it down to words 101. There's only going to be two classes. And I've boiled it down to understand how words can affect us. Number one, if you can't say anything helpful, skip it. Listen to what the word says here. Ephesians chapter 4. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful, whatever is building up, whatever is beneficial for someone listening to you. If you can't say anything nice, your mom said what? She's biblical. She's a preacher. That's what the Bible says. How many of you have a lot of things you have just erased? Delete, 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 delete. You just, no, I shouldn't have said that. It was an untamed reaction instead of a spiritually tamed reaction. There's a second thing I've learned. If you think something good or positive, what? Say it. I like what Proverbs 16:24 says. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet and healing. But the problem is, we don't say it. Well, they know what I'm thinking. Really? I don't know about you, but most of the time I have no idea what someone's thinking. And I'm going to tell you right now, we do not say enough positive things to one another. To too often someone passes. I wish I would have said. I wish I would have done this. But words can also have a negative effect. You say to people, and these words are heavy words. These words are not as light as others. When I shared that positive word for you, see, she just keeps playing with it. She loves that wiffle ball. It's just like, this is fun. Thank you. I feel good. And those are positive words. And as a word giver, you could do that. Or you could negative, heavy, difficult words. That when someone receives them from you, because you just don't hear words, you receive words. That could weigh them down. That could hurt them. And if you're not careful, you could give someone a word and throw it at them. And the danger of doing that can ruin their life if you're not careful. I've been guilty of both. What about you? As a word giver, please understand Proverbs 18:20. Words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips brings satisfaction. Amen? Now, here's some closing thoughts if you're a word receiver. Raise your hand if you receive words. Good morning. The bowling ball got your attention, didn't it? With God's help, you can break the pain of receiving negative words and reveal the love that Jesus has for you. How many have been looking at those words? You know, the weight of those words can have a big effect on you. Can you relate with any of those words? Have you been a victim of any of those words? And it may be the farthest thing from who you really are. But someone planted that seed. And you feel like you might be like that person. You have to understand the truth that those words didn't come from God. Those words came from broken, hurting people who are probably filled with pain and hurt like you. And they just transferred it onto you because we know hurt people, you know what they do? They hurt people. You know what loved people do? They love people. I like what the Bible says about this in John chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth. And what will the truth do? It will set you free from those chains of those negative words. What is the truth? Well, this is what Jeremiah 31:3 says. The truth is, God says, I loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. You know, so many people think they're not worthy of God because of all the stuff in their life, because you've believed what people have said about you. How could God love a loser? How could God love someone who's worthless? You know, God says you're worth. And God says, through my son, I sent him on the cross because I loved you. You have value. You're not worthless. You're not a loser. You're not an accident. I planned every day of your life, even before your mother and father got together. I knew who you were going to be. He says, you're not a fool. You're smart enough to know that it's me talking to you right now. You're not stupid. You're not ugly. You're not unwanted. You're not fat. You're not lazy. You're not weak. Jesus has spoken these words to you to help you understand that these are all lies from the enemy. And through a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have to see yourself in the mirror like that. In fact, you can see yourself like we're supposed to. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All these old things, they're gone, and behold, everything becomes what? But you know what? Only you have the power to break that cycle. Only you have the power to put Jesus at his word and trust him at his word and to allow him to take all that pain, all that yuck, and that maybe you've had, and say, you know, Lord, I give it to you. And when you yield it to him, you surrender to him, he helps you break the image that the enemy wants to keep in your mind. If you could be 100 pounds underweight and still think you're fat. You could be probably the best looking person in this room and still see yourself as what? You could have healthy, happy kids and still see yourself as a parent who didn't cut the cheese. You just blew it. That's what the enemy says. He's the father of lies. But Jesus, he shatters those. And out of my mystery box, I want to tell you right now, you don't have to live with that self-image anymore. Jesus doesn't see you the way you see yourself. He sees you as valuable, loving. He sees you as full of worth, so much that he sent his son Jesus for you so that he would not spend another day without you. But the problem is, we don't take up the hammer and destroy all these lies. Do you understand that God wants you to break away all these things here? He says, no, I don't want, there's no more. I don't want it. And when you break those away, what do you see as the real truth? What else? That's how God sees you. But if you choose to keep on believing the lies, and they may have come from the people that are closest to you because they're hurting and possibly lost as well, you'll never see the truth of how much God loves you. But you have to be willing to say, Jesus, I yield to you. I give you this pain. I give you these negative thoughts. And you begin to ask the Lord to reveal to you how he sees you, the true child. There's this one slide I want to share. I think this should be the prayer of every Christian, every person who yields their life to Jesus Christ. And this is it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As a word giver, are words powerful? Then share positive words. As a receiver of words, how many of you have received those negative words before in your life? I know sometimes they're like Velcro in our lives. But that's not God's will. It's not his desire. You need to begin to see yourself the way he sees you. More than a conqueror. What do you got to conquer over? All those lies. Amen?